Humans can take a lot of credit and a lot of blame for the state of the world today. One thing we have figured out is that we can't sustain the planet all by ourselves. We need lots of other creatures to do what they have to do to have a thriving environment. Pollinators are very big in that category, not big in size, but big in impact. The process of pollination makes so many things possible in the plants that we depend on. Pollinator Project Rogue Valley is dedicated to keeping attention and care focused on bees and butterflies and other pollinators. And Pollinator Project Rogue Valley recently released Pollinator Anthology, a big book with writing and works of art by many creators. We have the three editors with us. Christina Lefevre is the president of the Pollinator Project Rogue Valley. Welcome, Christina.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be on the show.
Good to have you here. Eden Orlando is with us as well, one of the three editors, also a poet and artist and bookmaker herself. Welcome, Eden.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Rebecca Ram is with us as well, also an artist, also one of the editors of the Pollinator Anthology. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you for having
me. You bet. Good to have you all here. And so, Christina, let's start with you. Catch people up on the mission and business of the Pollinator Project Rogue Valley.
Well, really, what we're wanting to do is just help people understand how important pollinators are for our daily lives, even though they're so small, as you mentioned, and it's easy to not worry about them because they do their job when they're allowed to do their job, when they're given the opportunity to do their job, which is getting harder and harder, even here in this beautiful Rogue Valley. And then, you know, there are so many other important issues happening today, as I'm sure you report every day. So for us just to be able to talk to people about how important these pollinators are and how people can help make their lives better and therefore ours. And I tell people often, if I can have a conversation with somebody in a day and let them know that, oh, there's not just the honeybee, and help them understand that bees can be from almost microscopic to the large carpenter bee. In Oregon alone, we have maybe 600 species of bees. And the honeybee is not native to this country, of course. It came over, you know, from Europe. So just helping people understand that one fact, that we have so many other just bees that play such an important role in our local ecology. We're one of the most diverse areas in the world. And so making sure that our diversity of just bees is hugely important, but there are so many other more pollinators out there that people may not even know what role they play. The butterflies and moths are, of course, are easy. Well, the butterflies are easy to see. I don't know how many people see moths on a regular basis. But flies are actually the second best pollinator after bees. Which you think houseflies, but actually
flies?
There are many,
okay.
Many flies. And I wanted to commend whoever put your show together on the website. That photo is a fly and a butterfly, and then I think maybe another little tiny fly. So good job on that.
Okay. Well, I'll pass that along to the web person. So you say, though, that it is getting harder for them to do their job, for the
mm-hmm.
pollinators to do their jobs. What I mean, at this point, I would think the message has gotten across, but not so, you're saying?
Well, I think what I meant was it's harder for them to be there to do their job because humans, as we all know, have definitely changed the face of this planet. And here in the Rogue Valley, if you've lived here for longer than, 20 years, it looks different. So there's a lot more development. You can't have plants that feed our pollinators if you have big buildings or roads there. Pesticide use, we have people spraying in their yards, we have along roadsides, mosquitoes. So there's a lot of pesticides, which includes herbicides and insecticides and fungicides. So there's a lot of that in our landscape that people may not realize what impact that has on the pollinators. You have climate change. Remember last summer when it was so terribly hot?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much of a difference in temperature to actually kill eggs of butterflies and other creatures because they're not used, their life, their organism can't calibrate to this all of a sudden, this sudden change. So the climate change, and then invasive species or other species. We have the situation where mason bees, there's been studies about mason bees from other countries, a different species, and it's making a huge impact declining the populations of native mason bees because these other mason bees have been brought in from other countries, different species. So, and then the plants change. And so, as we know, butterflies and moth caterpillars, the caterpillars of those creatures, they have to have native plants to eat. The monarch and the milkweed is a known combination, but there's others that are also very host specific. And so when you start to lose the native plants in our landscape, people bringing in plants from other parts of the country or other countries, those become non-functional. That's kind of the lingo, non-functional plants in the landscape, because there's nothing that could eat them. So I think it's interesting, as I've learned more and our volunteers learn more, we get excited when we see holes in the leaves of plants, because that means we're supporting our native pollinators.
Something is chewing on those, yeah, right. We're talking about pollinators.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Here on the Jefferson Exchange with the folks from the Pollinator Project Rogue Valley, Christina Lefevre is the president and the editor of the recent Rogue Valley Pollinator Anthology, a book of works of word and art as well, co-edited with Eden Orlando and Rebecca Ram, both with us as well. And you can join us on the exchange with your questions, your thoughts, your issues with pollinators, or questions for our guests at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Eden, you apparently get the credit for originating the Rogue Valley Anthology series. Tell us about the original idea.
I'm a bookmaker and an artist and a poet myself. Actually, when the Alameda fire happened, I was in a writing group, and we wrote together during the fires, and it was so helpful that I really wanted to extend that to the community by putting out a call for submissions. And so the first anthology was actually on the Alameda fire. And one of the amazing artists that I got to publish in that was Rebecca Ram. And so I met her from that project, and I had some ideas for anthologies, and I asked her what ideas she had. And she's a pollinator advocate and a beekeeper. And she said that pollinators would be an amazing topic. And I said I would, you know, the first one I gave away to the community for free, and the next one I wanted to benefit a nonprofit. And so she suggested Pollinator Project Rogue Valley, and that is how I met Christina Lefevre. So that's how it started.
So Rebecca, talk about where things went from there. Then you had the idea of where to dedicate it, and then it seems like the idea mushroomed from there. This is a very good sized book.
Right. So it's kind of a collaboration of art and activism and community engagement with a community partner, a nonprofit. So we put out a call and we got a response, and the response was incredible. And it's so touching because this book is so community driven. It's all contributions, the content within the book is all contributions from the community, and our sponsors who helped us publish it are also community-oriented businesses and nonprofits. So it's pretty touching to see how much people are paying attention and expressing themselves here in our valley in regards to the ecology and native ecology and pollination ecology. And that's how it grew. It grew to be about 3 times larger than we had anticipated. And we produced a gallery show at Catalyst Ashland, which is a local community co-working space run by Precious Yamaguchi and Andreas Rivera. And so we were so blessed to have that space as well to share with the community and come together and have discussions, have more time to have conversations and share. And so I think that's what I found so rewarding. And what I've learned over the years in engaging with the community on this topic is that there are so many people in our area here that are taking the time to research and pay attention to what's around them and share and educate others. And so there's a lot to learn. And I love learning. So it's fun to be able to have this opportunity to learn from one another. And I think anyone who reads the book will see that's the case. There's a lot of information and a lot of community expression through photography, art, visual art, sculpture, poetry, prose. It's someone who submitted a song. So it's really, it's hats off to our contributors too, who got responded to this.
Eden, Orlando, how wide a net did you cast for participants, and what did you ask of them?
We sent it to PPRV's email list. We put it on Facebook. We put it in both English and Spanish. We opened it to all ages to submit content. We put out certain topics. So we wanted to celebrate pollinators, wanted to highlight opportunities for action and activism in the community, and also celebrate what people have been doing. And also to just provide education. And also for it to be in a historical context. So it's an anthology, which for me in the series just really means what's happening in this location in the Rogue Valley right now. If that makes sense.
It does. It's interesting. I think you ended up getting 340 submissions is what I read from 65 writers and artists. And honestly, I thought I'd get a paper cut flipping through the table of contents alone. I mean, how many did get in and how fast did this all come together?
So actually the 340 submissions is actually how many were published.
Oh.
So we actually did get more than that. And we published 65 contributors. Pretty much what we were looking for was that it be local to the Rogue Valley. So that's primarily why those other people didn't get in. We got submissions from Spain and Nepal and like all kinds of things. But we really wanted to keep it local where people can care and connect to their own communities. There was a lot. So
we're talking about pollinators and the Rogue Valley Pollinator Anthology, a big book of works of both visual art and word art as well. Some prose, some poetry, even some songs in the Rogue Valley Pollinator Anthology put out under the aegis of the Pollinator Project Rogue Valley. Christina Lefevre is the president of Pollinator Project Rogue Valley, the co-editor with Eden Orlando, who you just heard, and Rebecca Ram, who you heard before her. And you can get into this conversation on the exchange to talk about pollinators and this particular approach to supporting them. 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Bill in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Yeah, I've been noticing when your speaker was laying out the reasons for pollination, but never mentioned the number one, which is, in my opinion, is overpopulation of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's kind of like a sacred cow. Hardly anybody ever mentions the word population control or reduction, and that's just my comment.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate that. And you're not the only person who brings that up from time to time, that a lot of the other issues we have on the earth would be different issues perhaps entirely if we weren't also focusing on continued population growth. Is that even broached in the Rogue Valley Pollinator Anthology, Christina?
No, we didn't get into that specifically. That's such a large issue. But it is actually, he's right. So many of our issues in our world are caused by more people on the planet. It's happening here in the Rogue Valley. We're having more people come in and populating this area that should be, you know, fairly rural. And, you know, one can still think about back before, 1800 maybe, and think about how this land was. And that's one of the things that I really want to stress when I talk to people is helping us think about how the land is. I'm not saying don't have any non-native plants. I have non-native plants in my garden. But this land was different before colonization began happening, including my ancestors. And so thinking about what the pollinators were like, what this ecosystem was like before we were overpopulated here in the Rogue Valley, much less the world. I can't go that big, I'm sorry. But it is something. We're building more houses, we're building more shopping malls, we're building more roads, and that impacts where the pollinators and other wildlife goes. Pollinators are not the only thing that's going extinct because we have more people on the planet.
Well, I find myself thinking then about connectivity. The fact is that we create these areas where there are islands where creatures exist. I mean, we've talked about this back into the first days of, yep. of fights over the spotted owl. We talk about it with pollinator, with birds, with pretty much anything. And it reminds me of the Rogue Valley Buzzway, which we have talked about in the past year, and which is really an attempt to try to provide a corridor, isn't it?
Yeah, or highlight the corridors that exist out there that we may not know about them, and encourage people to add their gardens, their landscapes, to make them more pollinator friendly. And, you know, I think what also is part of this conversation is the typical garden image may or may not be a pollinator garden. And so helping people maybe perhaps change their aesthetics as well as the plants that they put in there, and think about how this part connects to that part over there. Are there plants that are blooming pretty much all year long to provide the pollen and nectar? Are there host plants there? Thinking about the drought tolerance right now is a pretty good idea. So many of our native plants are drought tolerant. Maybe not the ones that are in the riparian areas because they need the water.
That point about pollinator gardens, though, let me follow that just a little bit, because sure. Are people under the impression that you find often that a pollinator garden isn't as pretty as a garden that you just get to fill with the flowers you like?
Well, I don't want to say it's not as pretty. I wouldn't go quite that far. It's very different. Mm-hmm. And so many of our cultivated plants, especially plants from other countries, China, for instance, Japan, we have a lot of those plants here in the Rogue Valley. They don't change with the seasons. They might have a bloom that the honeybees go to, but they're, like I said, they're non-functional and they're easy care. I would say a pollinator garden is not an easy thing. Unless, of course, you're a lazy gardener like me and you pretty much let it go, making sure you pull the weeds, because weeds can take over.
Mm-hmm.
So the flowers may not bloom as long as the ones that have been cultivated heavily, but then they're not providing as much resources for the pollinators. And I think as people learn and understand them, I think it's a very interesting topic to see these plants in the landscape. We have a demonstration garden in front of our office in Phoenix that is now probably 80% native compared to when we moved in there that was 100%. Non-native, and talk about a major change in the appearance and just the activity and the numbers of pollinators that are in that small area. We also have a propagation nursery in the back, and it's amazing. We have two Phacelia heterophylla, which I think are Woods Phacelia. I'm not sure. I can't remember the common name. And there are so many bees on those two plants, and there are, I've identified maybe 4 or 5 species out of, 25, 30 bees just on those two plants on a given time. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to see them.
We were talking about the pollinators and the pollinator anthology from the Rogue Valley, the Pollinator Project Rogue Valley. Christina Lefevre is the president of Pollinator Project Rogue Valley and the co-editor with Eden Orlando and Rebecca Ram. They're both with us as well. And you can join in at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Eden, I can't do some of this justice because it's also visual. I have to believe that some of the pollinator anthology materials have been around for a while, not created fresh for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. Some of it was actually created fresh, though. I know there's two contributors who went on PPRV's website as a result of our call for submissions and created content specifically around this. They were very inspired, and I think that really speaks to the point of this, which is, you know, I think for myself, I have a background in community studies. And basically, I think that a great motivator for people actually doing something is not really if they're shamed into it, but if they actually are curious and kind of excited about what they're learning, and to actually create, you know, connect themselves to pollinators and to native plants. Like, what does this do? And, you know, how can I put it in my garden? And you know, a lot of the plants, like, you know, I went into PPRV's garden, it smells amazing. Mm-hmm. So
So it's really about attraction, not just to tell people, hey, there's a problem, but to say this is how beautiful the world can be when you're taking care of the pollinators.
Yeah, and I think it relates back to the population question for myself, because I think, you know, a lot of our strategies for creating the society that we have, a lot of that is just switching our strategy and switching our values because we care about that. And I think that this anthology was really made to have that conversation started in this valley. And, you know, I came into this really as the novice on the subject. I don't have a background in pollinators or anything like that. And so for me, I'm just, you know, very innocently curious about things and like, oh, that's super cool. I didn't know that. That makes me want to know more and actually do something just for fun and not because I'm like stressed about something, you know.
Rebecca Ram, how much knowledge did you have about pollinators before this project started?
I've been writing about honeybees since 2003, and then more recently,
I'm sorry, your phone has gone completely to mush on us. Is that a little better there? So go ahead.
I was saying I've been familiar with honeybees for about 19 years, but it wasn't until about 2015 that I really started networking in the Rogue Valley with local teachers and other advocates for pollinators and honeybees, and that's when I was introduced to Pollinator Project Rogue Valley, as well as a few field institutes and other organizations who are offering programs for education and introduction into these topics. So some of the pieces I submitted to the anthology date back as far as 2015.
There's a really good one in there that you and your daughter Leah made about caterpillars, and it's interesting. The caterpillar sounds like it basically turns into a kind of soup to reform as a butterfly. There's lots of things to learn in the book, The Rogue Valley Pollinator Anthology from Pollinator Project Rogue Valley. Tri-editors Rebecca Ram, Eden Orlando, and Christina Lefevre, thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.